Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. It is Wednesday. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright. If you are celebrating the Jewish holiday, happy Yom Kippur to you. We made it halfway through the week, and we got some big storylines in the NFL to discuss. Aaron Rodgers says he's finally having fun again. There's a Super Bowl quarterback who's got some harsh words for Baker Mayfield, but we're going to start today's program out in Dallas, where the team that many had as Super Bowl contenders have since come back down to earth. The Cowboys, starting this season 3-0, have since lost back-to-back games. One of the reasons? The play of Dak Prescott, whose numbers have definitely declined every game so far this season. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say when asked if these past few weeks have impacted negotiations with Dak.
The narrative about his financial as opposed to how he's playing is frankly laughable. It's just not that way. It's too much on both ends of that for the team. It's too much for Dak to equate his performance stats or one loss here these first two or three games. Let me get that real clear. It is not impacting that with me at all. I do see Dak showing ability to handle adversity and basically go out and make the kind of plays that can win important games for the Cowboys in the future. I see that. There's not but one way to see it, and that's when you get in those critical situations. I've seen guys' knees buckle when they get in that spot. Dak's don't.
So this is an interesting situation, CeCe, because I think a lot of people thought he would have gotten paid and this would have been all behind him before the season started. Do you think his performance this season impacts your thoughts of him as a franchise quarterback?
No, they don't. They don't influence me. I've seen that he's improved. There's a number of moving parts around him, including the coordinator and the coach. But I just don't think we do quarterbacks a really give them a fair shot as far as when are we supposed to make them a franchise quarterback? And that's if a guy is a top 10 pick, if he's a first round pick, he's a franchise guy. And what window as far as years do we do that? Because right now when we draft them, oh, they're franchise quarterbacks. Oh, they're not franchise quarterbacks. But if we look at the most successful quarterbacks we have playing in today's game, and we just went by the judgment system that they were in when they started playing. And let's go from Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, all these guys, and I'll even throw in Russell, Aaron Rodgers. Every time when they were introduced to the public as the franchise quarterback, look what all of them went through. Tom Brady, they had won a Super Bowl. Is he really a franchise quarterback? Or is he just in the car because of Belichick and the defense and all the things surrounding him? Phillip Rivers didn't get no blessing when he went to San Diego starting out. Aaron Rodgers, you saw what he went through waiting for Brett Favre. Russell Wilson is one of the few at a very, very young age. We said, you know something? He beat out a guy that they had spent a lot of money for in free agency. They had turned the reins over to him, even though it was a running team. So for me, Dak's done all the things I would want him to do. The money's going to be outrageous. When Kirk Cousins gets $28 million guaranteed, all of it guaranteed, and then Dak's quarterback class starts to come up, it's like, well, what about golf? Well, what about Wentz? If we let the public keep judging these quarterbacks, we're not going to have any franchise quarterbacks. It takes a process. I just believe we're trying to put that label on quarterbacks before they're really ready. Drew Brees. Look what he went through before he was the franchise quarterback, because this is his second franchise. Because the first franchise gave up on him. All right. Now, there was an injury, but they had a choice. And they chose to not believe in Drew Brees and his overall talent. So I would just be very, very careful. I think Dak has all the attributes you want. He's steady. He's improving as a passer. He's a great leader. People respect him. And in the biggest moments, Dak has played good football.
I think he has all the attributes you want, with one questionable one, and it might be the most important one, which is how good of a thrower of the football is he really? Because I don't think people, I think what Jerry said at the end there, I agree with him on. Dak's knees don't buckle in the biggest spots. In fact, I think he gets better with his back up against the wall. I think he gets better when his team is trailing late in games. We've seen it. Hell, in the Packer game, they were down 31-3, so the defense changes a bit, but once they were down 31-3, he played solid football. The one interception he had there was when his receiver got mugged. It was right. Almost assuredly.
It could have been like Baker Mayfield on Monday night when they got down and they had no chance of coming back. They had the opportunity.
Right. Dak doesn't roll over. The Browns rolled over Monday night and Baker completed 8 passes for the entire game. There's no segment of that game that you can take and be hopeful about. And everyone, this is like the old is Joe Flacco elite conversation. What is a franchise quarterback? It's something in the eye of the beholder. But to answer your question, my opinion on Dak has not changed positively or negatively thus far this year. It's why we joked early in the year, first couple games, I'm going to be late to jump on this train because I jumped on it way too early his rookie season. And now I feel like the train is going about the speed it was before the year, which is Dak can be really good. He can struggle against some of the better opponents, and where is he in the NFC hierarchy? To me, each division in the NFC has a clear-cut, no-questions-asked best quarterback. Russell Wilson in the West, Aaron Rodgers in the North, Drew Brees in the South, and Carson Wentz, not Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz in the East. Then there's this group of a half dozen guys, Garoppolo, Goff, Matt Ryan, yeah. Cam Newton, both of whom have won MVPs, by the way, Matt Stafford and Dak. Those six guys, I think if you asked 100 football fans, some would have any of them fifth in the conference, some would have them 10th. And it's where you slot him in there. If you think he's fifth or sixth amongst all the quarterbacks in the conference behind those clear-cut top four, then you love what he did the beginning of the year. You're not going to kill him for what he did these last two games. And you think he clearly deserves the $35 million. If you think he's closer to ninth or 10th, you think the Cowboys are probably about to make a mistake. I think he's right in the middle. And if you're the 8th or 9th best quarterback in your conference and the 15th or 16th best quarterback in football, then how good will your team be when they have to start paring away the talent when you're off your rookie deal? That is the question Cowboys fans have and I have.
Look, we live in this world of immediate gratification. We want to know everything mm-hmm. right away. If like you said, it does take years to really figure out if a quarterback has staying power in the league and is a franchise quarterback. How would you describe a franchise quarterback? What is a franchise quarterback?
He's a guy, to me, the leadership becomes important. I think we miss out on that because the players run the locker room. The owner runs the organization. The coach runs the team. But the players run the locker room. And you have a lot of different characters. I'm talking about characters. A lot of different personalities. But you can't be a guy that can't speak to guys and correct guys and say things and guys don't respect you and be a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I want you to be able to throw the ball. I think you should be able to make every throw. With the quality throwers we have in the league, you should be able to make every throw on the football field. But there's so many other things that go about being a franchise quarterback. Winning games. Can I win a game with my arms? Can I win a game with my legs? Can I get out of the way? So there's so many. There's not one thing a franchise quarterback, but the number one stat for me is winning games. If a guy can win more games than he can lose, then he should be your franchise quarterback. All these other things we keep trying to add as if there is a perfect example of what a franchise quarterback is. No, there's not.
And last point on this, Jerry Jones, he had a lot of luminaries in his luxury box this weekend. People that I'm sure have negotiated either on their behalf or other people, President W. Bush, Ellen DeGeneres, multi-million dollar deals. Some of them should give him some advice if he wants to take it. He's got to stop talking about this. He can say Dak's play does not affect the contract. Well, the contract's not done for a reason. It is because the Cowboys have placed a value at Dak at X. He has placed a value in his his agent have placed a value on him at Y, and the gulf is too big. When all of a sudden, as a team, Dak has played a couple poor games, and you might have a little bit of leverage to say, why won't you accept the offer? To say, no, how he plays has nothing to do with it. He keeps undercutting his own position if they want to get this deal done, which I would assume, bless you, both parties do want to get this deal done sooner rather than later.
But that's not going to change.
I was just going to say.
Oh, Jerry ain't going to stop talking about it.
When he wakes up this morning, brushes his teeth, get on his way. How about them Cowboys? Oh, he's going to be talking something about them Cowboys today. That's him. That's his brand. Uh-huh. He loves football. And also, the reason why those people are in his box compared to some of these other billionaires' boxes is because of his brand and the way he talks about his product and sells his product.
On to the Cleveland Browns now. The first 5 weeks of their season is the reason why we don't crown champions in the offseason. A team full of talent and
Repeat
hype,
that, Jenna.
Living up to very little of that. Baker Mayfield is a big reason why. Turnovers, inaccuracy, and the third worst passer rating in the NFL. Quarterback guru Trent Dilfer was on The Herd yesterday and talked about what he thinks is happening with Baker.
I think there's some try too hard. I think he's trying to be a superstar and just trying to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And that's kind of been his nature so far in the NFL. When he plays on schedule, when he plays like a surgeon, when he plays like Tom Brady, man, he's brilliant. But when he tries to put on that Superman cape and try to do more than the X's and O's, tries to play above the X's and O's, that's when you really see the flaws in his game come out.
And Nick, this is a little bit about what we were talking this week. It almost feels like he's trying too hard to force his way into certain situations and plays as opposed to just being a quarterback, which is what he should be doing. What was your reaction to what Trent Dilfer had to say?
Listen, I think Trent knows exactly what he's talking about. And I think when you're watching Baker, the number one thing that I've noticed this year is that with the breakdown of the offensive line, where last year in the second half of the season where he was excellent, where he really made his name as an NFL quarterback was the second half of last year when he was only sacked, I believe it was 8 times in 8 games, he had a clean pocket. This year he doesn't. Why am I bringing that up now? Because he is not reacting to that lack of a clean pocket effectively. Tom Brady's been under duress all year, and while we're worried about Brady's ability to stay healthy because of it, Tom Brady's not throwing no bunch of picks, maybe more than we're used to in the red zone for Brady. Tom Brady, because when he sees the pocket break down, he either gets rid of the football quickly or he goes down. Baker thinks he can escape, and he can't escape. Baker was an elusive college quarterback in the Big 12. That does not mean you're going to come to the NFL and be able to run past these guys. Chris mentioned it this morning. I couldn't believe it. Baker's 40 time at the combine was 4.8. Baker's not no great athlete in that regard. He is an excellent thrower of the football. He is an excellent leader. He has excellent arm talent, all those things. But his ability that if he's got, his center gets beat up by the nose guard to all of a sudden get off on the edge, that's not going to be there. He is not Patrick Mahomes in that regard, where he can be on the move, keeping his eyes downfield and then sling it from multiple platforms. And he's not Russell Wilson, who's one of the best raw athletes we have playing the position. And so what Trent's talking about, at least that's what I'm seeing. Maybe Trent is seeing something different and is talking about it at a higher PhD quarterbacking level. But what I'm seeing is Baker not understanding I can't make the great play every time. And even on that pick he threw to the first one when he was targeting Callaway, man, there is a quadrant of the field where you've got defenders in the front, two in the front, two in the back, with Callaway, the man in the middle, that like you're playing a game of 500, trying to loft it up over him and drop it to him. You can't do that, particularly in the first quarter of a football game that's still in the balance. So I agree with what Trent's saying, and I think Baker is having the hard realization that he can't get away from these guys, so he's got to beat them with his arm, and he's got to beat them maybe pre-snap quickly with quick reads.
It's like what you said, Callaway's been out a couple games. Oh, game plan should be let's get Callaway the ball. Oh, OBJ hasn't had many touch. Let's get OBJ, and it feels like they're trying to force different things in a game, and he obviously that's not the way the game plan should be sort of mapped out.
No, the game plan is one thing, Jenna. You're right. You give them some quick reads, but whoever is open or wherever the coverage dictates, the ball should go compared to who I think needs the football. Baker Mayfield's biggest problem right now is he's playing a game he's not familiar with. If you go back to college, and I got a lot of respect for Trent, and there's no one that I'd much rather talk quarterbacks, that being young quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks. Trent is a high school coach in Tennessee now. After working with quarterbacks for the last 15 years or so, he knows it. He could talk over our head, but he broke it down to a level that we could understand as football fans. Baker Mayfield needs to look at one quarterback as his model of who he wants to be like, and that's Drew Brees. Because he has around relatively the same athleticism, the same height. He's got a stronger arm, but he's got the accuracy of Drew Brees. Yesterday, we had a clip of Drew Brees on, and you could see Drew Brees throwing a smaller football. But after Drew Brees threw the football, did you guys have any clue what he was doing?
No.
He was going over his reads. If I don't have that guy, then I got that guy. Then I got that guy. Then I got that guy. That's what Tom Brady does, because Tom Brady knows every coverage, every front. He knows where he's weak, but more important, if I have five people out in the route, he knows where every one of those guys is. So he knows where the outlet is, or, and if I can't get to the outlet, I'll just throw it on the ground because I know I can't get away. Baker on Monday night, he still thinks he can get away. He still thinks he's in college. And that looked like one of the games when he was in college when he struggled. And there was only a few. But when he struggled in college, it was because of that. You have to win from the pocket until he understands where everyone is on the field. And that only comes with time and experience. But Drew Brees is the quarterback that he should look at and try to emulate everything that Drew Brees does, because Drew Brees gave up on that. And Drew Brees is a great athlete. He gave up on that trying to get away long time ago.
And one last point when we were showing those Baker highlights. That's second.
Watch Drew. I got that guy, and then I'm going to come off to the other guy. This is what he does all the time. He does this religiously in his warm-up before the game. All right? If that guy's not there, I reset myself ready to throw again. And that's one of the reasons why Drew Brees, he has mastered it. I'm not trying to beat him with my athleticism, Nick, and the thing you always love. I'm trying to beat him with my brain.
And by the way, the one play in this game, when we were showing those highlights, it stands out, where he does exactly that. He got a terrible result, but it was the second pick to Callaway, the one in the end zone. That was perfect by Baker.
Yeah, just give him a better ball.
You had Jarvis and Odell, I believe, on the same side of the field, covered slanted there. He knew, it would appear from how quickly he got it out, that if Callaway goes to the right spot, there's going to be a soft spot in the defense. I'm going to fire it right into him. And, I mean, he hit him. Maybe it wasn't a perfect ball, but this is where, right there, he knows it. And Callaway's open, and that's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Callaway blows it for him. Those are the types of plays he has to make. That one right there of, I'm still going to try to force it to him. He knew pre-snap he wanted to go to Callaway on that other pick. He saw, oh, he's not open. And then he still says, I'm going to go to him anyway. I'm going to try to fit it in there. He can't do that. And he has not shown an accuracy on the move, the likes of which of Russell or Patty Mahomes.
Great
that
point.
Make them special. Special even amongst good NFL quarterbacks that make them right now probably the two leading MVP contenders.
Which is interesting because when he isn't on the move and he's in the pocket, he's incredibly accurate. And I think he just assumes that that will translate to when he's running around. But you said the only way to fix this is with time and experience. He doesn't have either. He doesn't have the experience and he doesn't have time. And you know the offensive line is what it is. How does he get better or struggle with what's going on that line to get himself better?
The Browns have to help him out. If I was the Browns this week, I would condense my playbook. I would condense the protections. I would condense the routes. And I'm condensing who I'm trying to get the football to. All right? I'm calling plays based on what the coverage is, and whoever's going to be open based on the coverage is going to get the football. I can't be trying to force the ball to Jarvis, force the ball to Odell Beckham, force the ball to the tight end. Like, I can't do that. Let him read it out. Let his instincts take over, but he's got to be able to play fast. It's either 1-2-3 and out, 1-2-3-4-5 and out. If that guy's not there, get to the second, get to the check down. And you only get that, Jenna, with experience, playing in games, and it's something we have to live with. We look at Drew Brees now as a finished product, but Drew Brees struggled mightily early in his career to be able to figure it out, What do I need to do after a great college career like Baker Mayfield?
And just very quickly here, and also on the coaching staff, if you go into a game plan with the plan, we are not letting our quarterback get hit, you can execute it just from a schematic standpoint. The Oakland Raiders, now they have a better offensive line than Cleveland. They clearly went into that London game saying, we are not going to let the pass rush beat us. Derek Carr was clean the whole game. Why? Because the ball was out of his hands immediately. Now, you're going to remove some big play potential, some deep down the field pass potential, but if that's what you need to do to get Baker back on track, that's up to Freddie Kitchens and that coaching staff to get it together.
And I believe it's going to be hard for Baker to get it turned around. They got Kareem Hunt coming. They got Chubb, who should be the featured player in the offense. Kareem Hunt's coming in another 4 weeks. Like, they only got one football to go around.
A lot of mouths to feed on.
Absolutely, Jenna. That was like Joyce Carter raising seven kids. It's tough. It's tough to get you a little meal.
All right, let's move and talk the Packers. Aaron Rodgers and the Pack sitting pretty. 4 wins and 1 loss so far this season. One reason why? Well, they start strong. Their 82 first half points this season ranks 4th in the NFL. Perhaps the Rodgers-LaFleur relationship is LaFleurishing after all.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Rodgers is very happy about where his team is right now.
I got one laugh, and it was from the person.
I like the way we're going, and I'm not going to put a timetable on when everybody's going to feel, you know, totally comfortable. I'm just going to say that I've seen progress since week one, where we struggled, and week two we came out, played a little better. Three and then four, you know, we got the passing game going, and a couple of days ago we got the run game really rolling, and I like the way we're going. I really enjoy our team. I think it's a bunch of really good guys, and I enjoy the staff, and I'm not going to put any, you know, timetables, expectations on. I'm just going to say that I'm really having a lot of fun right now, and I think the guys are too, and it's kind of contagious, and we're going to embrace that feeling.
So Aaron Rodgers has now mentioned on a number of occasions how much happier and how much better the team is seemingly getting along than years past. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers' ability to sort of embrace change this season? Because it's been change.
Well, this is the thing that I know about the greatest athletes that I've ever met. The greatest athletes that I've ever encountered on a regular basis. And that goes from basketball players, football players, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Reggie White, Warren Moon. Every one of those guys, not only did they have the elite of the elite of talent, the elite of the elite physical skills, but all of them wanted to be pushed about learning the game. And I believe Aaron Rodgers has that. And I do believe the relationship that he had was getting a little stale, and he needed a little change. And I thought Aaron, when he met Matt LaFleur, because I've met Matt, sat down, talked football with him, that Aaron would be impressed as far as what he knew about football. And I thought, because to me, I always try to train athletes too. When you show up, you have to relinquish that talent to that coach to get the best out of the talent. And typically when we see people that are really talented and they want to do it their own way, they're not going to maximize their talent. But the best of the best, I've been around, I played with 8 Hall of Famers. My brother introduced me to those other basketball players at a very, very young age. And that was the thing all of them had in common. People could not understand why Isaiah Thomas left the rough streets of Chicago and went and played for Bobby Knight. He knew he needed that type of discipline in his life to be the type of basketball player and the man that he wanted to be. Magic Johnson with the Lakers, he used to win every competition, every race, and he wanted to understand every nuance in the offense and in defense. That's the way the best of the best are. And I thought Aaron would relinquish his talent to someone who's going to give him a different version of football that he's never heard. He had that early on with the Packers coach, Sherman. I mean, with McCarthy. He had that on, but somewhere along the way, Aaron took his talent and said, my talent is better off me freestyling than listening to you. And I'm glad he relinquished it to Matt LaFleur, because that's what a big-time athlete is supposed to do. A coach will get the best out of you, but only if you allow him to. And that's what we're seeing, and that's what we hear in Aaron with his interviews.
And the reason Aaron Rodgers is happy is not just the change. It's their winning. The Aaron Rodgers knows, I can be great, and that doesn't necessarily mean we win. The last year Aaron Rodgers was great statistically was 2016. 40 touchdowns, 7 picks, a 105 rating, monster year. Vintage Aaron Rodgers year. They won 10 games. And in the NFC Championship game, we're down 31-0. and it was a wrap against that Atlanta Falcons team because they were drawn dead from the first quarter of that game because they couldn't get a stop. Just couldn't get a stop, and you just knew, okay, Falcons are going to score every time they have the ball. And I think the Falcons did score the first seven possessions they had the football in that game. Aaron knows, okay, we're 4-1 through the toughest part of our schedule. Our next two games are home games against Detroit and Oakland. If he looks at the schedule, there's only two games the rest of the year we know they'll be underdogs. At Kansas City, at San Francisco, maybe at Minnesota. They are staring at a 12-4 season almost at a minimum.
That's the least amount of offensive talent that he's played with.
Right. Doing it right now without Devontae Adams. Doing it where he has the least amount of pressure on him on a week-in, week-out basis to be great. Mm-hmm. And he knows there is only one thing that is going to change people's minds on Aaron Rodgers if you're not in the camp of this most talented quarterback I've ever seen. That's winning another Super Bowl. Getting to another Super Bowl. And so I think it is okay whether I wanted to initially submit my talent or not. What's going on right now is working, and I don't have to be great every single week. And I think that's what's making him happy, is that they're the favorites in that division. They're the best team in that division, and they're through the hardest part of their schedule. And I think right now, if you were to reset the Vegas over-under for wins for this team, it'd be 12.5. This is going to be a 12 or 13 win team that potentially can have home field go through Green Bay.
New coach, new offense, and they're 4-1 sitting atop the NFC North. Not bad. Back here on First Things First, now joined by former Pro Bowler, funny man, Bart Scott.
Ain't nothing funny about how you flexed on them today, you know
what
I'm saying? They can't
said
even
is...
appreciate the construction of this outfit you got on right now. You got to wear that to happy hour after this one. Tell us, see?
No, tell us, see? I love some Bart Scott, man. I love some Bart Scott. He wasn't lying, though. He wasn't lying.
And thank you very much. We are quickly approaching week 6 in the NFL, and that can mean only one thing. It is time to discuss super early candidate for MVP. And while I'm sort of kidding, I'm sort of not. There is a serious battle brewing for the honor. On one hand, you got Patrick Mahomes. On the other, the only quarterback with more touchdown passes than Mahomes, and that's Russell Wilson. So, Bart, I will pose this question to you through 5 weeks. Who is your MVP? Is it Mahomes or is it Wilson?
I love me some Mahomes, but, you know, you think that he's surrounded with so much talent. We know that Russell Wilson is doing less with more, doing more with less. You know, he has Metcalf. He doesn't have really a line. That's what I think that Russell Wilson is the true definition of an elevator. He's a guy that takes guys, whether it was Baldwin before, whether it was Golden Tate. He's a guy that's always elevated guys that couldn't really shine or star on other teams and make them better. He's a guy that, you know, you think about, you know, the deficiencies, and it's his fault right now, right, because he's taking a big chunk of the pie. You know, Mahomes is the beneficiary of being on a cheap contract. They're going out getting hired guns for him. He has some of the fastest athletes, you know, tight end, offensive line, you know, able to make the trade for McCoy, you know, be able to go out and get Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. So he's been able to be on that rookie deal, so he's benefiting from that. But if I had to pick anybody, go with McCaffrey.
Oh, that was – C mentioned McCaffrey yesterday as far as an off-the-board.
Yeah, he's been special, guys.
He's been the MVP, the most valuable player to his team. Without Cam Newton, they have a winning record with a backup quarterback, a rookie quarterback, a defense that's still trying to figure out this new system. He's been doing everything. 200 yards. Only thing that can stop him is cramps.
Well, I think this might surprise some people, but through 5 weeks, the MVP has been, to me, Russell Wilson. And you mentioned all the things Mahomes has going for him. Here's another thing Mahomes has going for him that Russell Wilson does not. The difference between having Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy design your offense and call your plays versus the Brian Schottenheimer system in Seattle is night and day. It would be a pleasure to see what Russell Wilson could do unleashed in an Andy Reid offense. But through 5 weeks, listen, Russell has a higher quarterback rating. He does have the one more touchdown. He is completing a higher percentage of his passes. And he's doing it, to your point, with less talent. The guy that's in the line of getting the absolute most out of his abilities playing with Russell Wilson, as far as Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, now it's Tyler Lockett, who for the last season and a quarter now, Russell has a perfect quarterback rating when targeting him because he is putting Tyler Lockett in the best positions imaginable, and Tyler Lockett is turning himself into one hell of a player. The only asterisk I will put on it is this. While through 5 weeks, Russell Wilson, to me, is the MVP, the best bet would be for my money, Patrick Mahomes. Because I think by the end of the year, Mahomes' numbers will rebound from the worst game of his career statistically this past weekend. They will get Tyreek Hill back. Some of those weapons you've talked about, he's been without this year. And so I think Mahomes by the end of the year is more likely to be the answer. But right now, Russell Wilson's been the most valuable player in football.
Disregard the other two. McCaffrey's having an outstanding season there in Carolina. Yeah. Outstanding. Last year, he wanted to get 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving. And had set that as a real goal. Nick, after five games, stat-wise, where is Patty Mahomes compared to 2018?
So 2018, after five games, he has no interceptions this year. Last year, he had some picks. He has more yards this season. Last year, he had more touchdowns. So he is it's neck and neck, depending on how you want to look at it.
But given how outrageous last season was, mm-hmm. and there's no one on TV that I've heard, and I watch everything, that said Patty Mahomes would duplicate what he did last year.
No.
Well, he's doing it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting ready to try to discredit that because we used to always have this discussion about the greatest wide receiver. Well, Jerry Rice, well, he was with Bill Walsh and he had Joe Montana. And then when Joe left, he had Steve Young. That ain't his fault.
Right.
They wasn't running those hills with him. They weren't making all them spectacular catches. They weren't doing all that. So we're going to discredit, just like Brady, all his Super Bowls. Is it Belichick? Is it the Patriot way? What difference do it make? Everyone, when they draft into an opportunity or free agent, do they take advantage of it? And Patty Mahomes is playing better than he played last year, which was a remarkable season.
That's true.
Russell is having a great season. McCaffrey is having a great season. But the best in the game is playing better than he did last year. And the only way you can give the MVP to someone else is if you say, oh, he's got a tight end, Kelsey. Oh, he's got Andy Reid calling plays. Yes, he does have that franchise, that intellectual talent that we talk about, that's not a wide receiver and everything in Kansas City, but he's also taking advantage of it. He had every opportunity this offseason to get soft. He was traveling around. He was being honored everywhere. He had every reason not to come back focused. But he's come back even better, and I just like to be able to recognize that.
But we have, you could be a victim of your own success, right? Because we've seen him last year throw for 50 touchdowns. Will he duplicate that? Maybe not. And we know that, we have these sentimental favorites. Last year was Drew Brees, and he fell off late in the year. Mm-hmm. But we have, like, these lifetime achievement awards, right? And we've seen Russell Wilson play at a high level for a long time, yet to get the award. If he continues to put this team in a tough division towards the top in contention,
yes,
you know that it'd be a sentimental favorite to give it to him because we know that he's doing less with more. It's just like in basketball, you can give it to LeBron every year. Every year you can give it to Tom Brady, but people get tired of the same person. It's almost hard because he's competing against himself from last year.
Well, and the one last point, because there's going to be hard to find anyone that's a bigger fan of Patrick Mahomes than me. And Chris is right in this regard. Through five games this year versus last year, this year is a higher quarterback rating, higher yards per attempt, and a better touchdown interception ratio, and more total yards, right? So in that regard, he is already having a better season. His raw touchdown numbers are not off the charts the way they were last season. But through 5 weeks last year, Patty Mahomes was not the runaway MVP because Drew Brees was neck and neck with him mm-hmm. through the first three quarters of the season. It wasn't until Drew Brees fell off.
Yeah, he only got two quarters playing with Tyreek Hill, right?
Right, exactly right. That's the other reason why I think you can say right now McCaffrey or Russell Wilson are the league MVP if it was awarded at the third poll of the season. But by the end of the year, I think Patrick Mahomes' numbers are going to far supersede everyone's. I think he's going to have, I hope he actually has a better playoff resume than Peyton ends up having, but I think regular season, he's going to have Peyton Manning style, multiple MVPs,
right,
consistently leading the league in multiple passing categories.
18 and 1,000 gets it done for McCaffrey.
1,800 and 1,000? Well, that'd be something. Yeah, 2,800 yards.
That's Marshall Faulk right there. Whenever you dress like that, Jen, you need to get up and twirl from him.
Oh, my goodness.
You need to get up and twirl from him. Put the hands in the pocket.
Marshall
when
Faulk
she comes back, she's going to strut
Marshall
the runway.
Marshall Faulk and you what?
So, you got to strut the runway when you come back.
We share a birthday, February 26th, Marshall.
I thought I'd say that.
What do you think, Bart? Is Baker Mayfield just trying too hard to be a superstar and not as hard as just being a quarterback?
But I think that Dilfer say he's trying to be a superhero, right? Well, if he's trying to be a superhero, his left tackle is Blank Man. I mean, you look at Greg Robinson. Listen, during the week where who's the kid from Tunsil? The week where Tunsil got two first-round draft picks, they waived Greg Robinson to do some things with the roster. Nobody even tried to sign him.
Yep. Come and on, they waived. If people don't know what Bart's talking about, right before the season started, the Browns put Greg Robinson, their starting left tackle, on waivers to do some roster machinations, knowing that any team could claim him and take him from him. And they were so confident no team would want Greg Robinson, they could do that with their starting left tackle,
right,
which speaks to the position their line was
in. Remember the three little pigs, right? One built their house on straw. The other one built it with, like, mud. The other one built it on concrete. Well, their house is built on straw because they decided to go out and get all the fancy things. I want the fastest receiver. I want two bookend defensive ends. Mm-hmm. But what you forgot about the foundation, the offensive line. You know, what allowed Baker to be good last year is the fact that at least he had Zeitler. At least he didn't have any pressure up the middle. Allows him to stay in the pocket. But now when you know that, you know, your left tackle is like a turnstop, that all you got to do is push past him, there's no resistance, then you know that you have to get on your horse early. So you're trying to improvise because you're rolling to your right. And now what teams are doing is they're making sure that they invite him to roll to the right. You saw Bosa. All he did was a good old fish hook because you know that he was going to be running for his life. So you never saw anybody holding him up on the right side. How many times did he get sacked from the right side, somebody coming and beating the right tackle? No, they covered up all the holes in the inside, knowing that he's 6 feet. You can't see. Now you got to see. Slide to the right. Oh, your left tackle sucks. So now I'm going to go a big old fish hook, and now Bosa's continue to sack him from his left side because that's where the pressure comes.
None
so it's really more about
Baker.
Game plan. It's more game planning, right? It's game planning. We're forcing a edge, knowing that you got to take the bait because you can't see over the top. We used to do it to Michael Vick all the time. We knew that to Michael Vick, the same lanes that he throw through is the lanes that he runs to. So what we used to do is we used to cross the defensive ends in the middle. We used to call it TE stunts, and it distorts his vision. So now if I'm a shorter quarterback, everybody's 6'5", I'm 6 feet, what do I have to do? I have to escape to my right. Now I got the big old fish hook, so I tell that guy, hey, you got no two-way goals. There's no up and unders. You just do a nice old speed rush. He's going to flush, and you tackle him from the back. How many times did he get tackled that way? And you can tell that Bosa really didn't like Baker because he tried to give him a concussion. Whenever you see a defensive lineman come in and whenever you've been tackled, it was always like this, right?
Yes.
Shoot the hands, right? He came wide. You know why I come wide? Because I don't like you, and I tackle your hands, and if
so
I tackle
you
your arms, now your face hits the ground first. Only thing that saved Baker is the fact that his shoulder hit first. He didn't fall this way. He felt that way. He was trying to make him go night-night. So I love it. I can respect it both.
Listen, you mentioned you guys would do this to Vic, and Vic's similar size. Where Vic is very different is Mike Vick's prior to Lamar Jackson, maybe including Lamar Jackson, the fastest player to ever play quarterback in this league.
That's why you spy him.
Right. No, and you still, but even with his speed, what you're talking about, had some success against him. Baker is not a great athlete for the position. Baker is, he ran a 4.8 40. He seemed elusive at Oklahoma because you had that great offensive line. You have those mediocre Big 12 defenses. And Baker is a great quarterback in this regard. He has amazing arm talent. He has amazing accuracy when he can see where he's going. And what is to me, what I'm seeing is Baker, because he's constantly under duress, he is trying to escape far too early rather than recognizing pre-snap, I got to get this thing out quickly because those lanes are going to, everything's going to collapse on me, and he can't escape in this league.
Right.
He needs to. Chris, I think you brought this up earlier, and I think it's right. People would compare him to Russell Wilson and Drew Brees because of size. He is not the athlete Russell Wilson is.
Nope.
Just X that out. But he is a similar athlete to Drew Brees.
Yep.
So
last time you seen Drew trying to run from something.
So how
but how many great offensive linemen does he have?
No, absolutely. Drew understands the game. What Nick is trying to get to, when is Baker going to get to the point where, because Drew Brees is his model. Mm-hmm. These other guys, Lamar, Kyler, and them, they ain't his models, man. You can't model yourself after a Mercedes 500 model and you're sitting here, you a three-cylinder. Mm. No, Baker is not that type of athlete. Now, he does have that type of arm talent. Baker's got to be able to figure out, and Freddie Kitchens, how can I get as many instant reads as possible? That is, I got to play that there is going to be a number one receiver, a number two, or I can get to the number three, because he is not going to be able to play games as he sees them. And that's it. You got to be ahead of it. Tom Brady is not playing to play as he sees them. He is ahead of it a tick or two because he's seen every rush. He's seen every coverage. And he knows where the outlet is on every single play. Almost every player that's an elite player in the league goes through a period where we try to be superstars and we don't know how to do it. Like, I wasn't prepared to break the NFL record in year 5, 6, or 7. It took a long time for me to really understand how I'm approaching the game, how they're trying to defend me, and how to take advantage of my ability. Baker is in that learning curve, but as a quarterback, we speed it up. You're the first player in the draft. We speed it up on them.
So what you're explaining to me is that Baker needs to play in a West Coast offense, because what happens is...
No doubt.
That what happens is...
Pick and stick.
The ball has to come out, because if I know you don't have a great offensive line, you know what I'm going to do? Exactly what San Francisco did. I'm going to sit in cover 3, knowing that nobody can get over the top, knowing that you won't have time to throw the deep routes. So I'm going to sit Richard Sherman off 15 yards and read your drop. If it's 3-step, I know it's quick. If it's 5-step, I know I can sit at the sticks. They're challenging their receivers early. That's why Landry is the one that's leading the team in receptions, because he's the guy that gets the ball on the screens, the quick slants and things of that sort. They're trying to get the ball down the field to guys like Beckham, and you know, and that's what happens. The scheme has to match the player. You know, all the time we used to love going against North Turner because he was the 7-step drop, and we know that we had time to get there. So if we put pressure on there, the drop and the time for the drop doesn't match up with the route combinations.
And
you can write that down. That's the first one of the year. You write that one down.
And
that's
the other, listen, Baker's got to be better. He's turning the ball over at an absurd rate. He's completing 55% of his passes. So offensive line and scheme, all this stuff notwithstanding, he has to be better. But the other element that can cure a lot of this is if the defense has to start playing the run before they play the pass. The other element that can help you in this is if you get back to what made them a winning team last year, which was a lot of double tight end and Nick Chubb gashing people.
Well,
they've done that in one game this year.
Tight end's hurt. He's got a broken wrist. And what happens is with Chubb, when I just explained, like West Coast offense, cover 3. What does cover 3 mean? That means I have an insert safety. That means you can't run the ball because you're running against 8 in the box. They're disrespecting Baker because they know his offensive line can't hold up. So if I'm a team that can get pressure with 4 and I bring my safety down, now I got coverage all for all the intermediate stuff, right? Because I got 4 cross underneath, 3 deep. I don't have, you know, 2 deep, or I don't have a light box. So now I can stop the run and you can't throw anything quick because I got everybody sitting in the slant lanes.
And the last thing is what Trent was saying. No, listen, Baker Mayfield plays with this bravado when he's out on the field. It's the same bravado that ingratiated him with the fans and with his teammates and all of it. And he has to find a way to sort of balance the two. Keep what makes him Baker, but also be able to succumb a little bit to what he needs to do to be a better
player. It's hard to be braggadocious when you're not good.
The Saints, the 4-1 division-leading almighty Saints. When Drew Brees injured his thumb back in week 2, many thought this team was doomed, but backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has played like starting quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, leading the Saints to 3 straight wins. According to All-Pro Cam Jordan, though, who was a guest yesterday on The Herd, Brees hasn't relinquished any of his leadership role.
Drew's still the general. You talk about what he brings to the thing. I mean, he was gone for a week, and he was still in L.A. when he was waiting for the swelling to go down his thumb or however that situation went. But the moment he came back in the building, he's the same Drew. He's the same guy who's going through different reads, different throws. You can see his progressions right behind Teddy. He may not be able to throw the ball or what his timeline is for that is unbeknownst to me. But I do know that he's working. He's going through the motions of as if he was taking every snap. And that's something that you just can't replace.
All right, CC, if the Saints continue to play as well as they are and they don't miss a step with Bridgewater in there, Brees comes back, all goes according to plan, what would a Super Bowl mean for Brees and Sean Payton?
Oh, my goodness. I'll go to Sean Payton. I think it means more for Sean Payton, a guy that was suspended from the league and is also a guy that's had very mediocre seasons, being the tremendous play caller that he is. I think for Sean Payton, because he's already in a special, special breed. He onside kicks to win a Super Bowl to start the second half. Sean Payton's got guts, man. Not only the numbers will always be mentioned with Sean Payton, how he turned the Saints around. I mean, and the emotion for which they won that Super Bowl and who they won against. He got a Super Bowl win against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That's big time stuff right there. So I just think that it would mean a lot more for Sean Payton than it would for Drew Brees, because Sean right now is not considered in the greatest coaches ever. Drew Brees, he will always be in the conversation as far as the greatest quarterbacks. Now, if he wins another one, it just makes him, you know, in the Hall of Fame, there are no distinctions in rooms. But when you're judging the players before they get to the Hall of Fame, there are some distinctions. And Drew Brees will be riding in super duper first class because he's had an amazing career. He's an amazing human being. He's an amazing leader. And that right there, he doesn't need another Super Bowl win like Peyton Manning needed one in Denver, even though they still had one apiece.
So for
Sean, I hope that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Listen, for Sean Payton, it would solidify without question he's a Hall of Famer. And right now, I think he probably is, but because you could make the case against it because of the suspension.
Yes,
because
sir.
The Saints went 7-9 three straight years, but he gets to another Super Bowl and wins it. He's a Hall of Famer. So I'll set Sean Payton aside. Drew Brees, obviously, already a Hall of Famer. First ballot, no question, no doubt about it. But if he becomes a multi-time Super Bowl champion, his statistical resume is this. He's number one all-time in completions. He's going to finish number one or number two all-time in attempts. He right now is number one all-time in yards and is going to finish number one all-time in yards unless Tom Brady plays far longer than he does. He is number three all-time in passer rating, and he has a chance this season to become number one or two all-time in touchdowns. He and Brady could both pass Peyton Manning. So he will be one or two or three in every major quarterback category. If he has two rings to go along with it, there will be some people that stack his resume alongside Peyton Manning's and say, who was better? Now, to me, Peyton, they played in the same era. Peyton won four MVPs. Drew Brees won none. Peyton was a first-team All-Pro half dozen times. Drew Brees one time. Drew Brees one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time, no question. Peyton to me is in another class. But people will make that case. Right now he is in the room of Steve Young's in this room. Aaron Rodgers is in this room. I would say Ben Roethlisberger, even though he has the two rings, is in this room of great, great quarterbacks. But he's not in the room with Brady and Manning and Peyton Manning, to me.
Because of the Super Bowl rings?
Yeah, because he only has the one title. And
I mean, he can't encompass anymore as far as stats, so it's got to be about the rings.
Well, it's the cumulative stats, yes, and because he played in an era with Brady and Peyton, and each season the people looked at it, and very rarely did people say Drew Brees was the best quarterback that year. But another Super Bowl ring, to me, moves him into a room different than Aaron Rodgers is in, different than Steve Young's in. You could argue different than Troy Aikman. In, even though Troy's got three of them. So Brady's by himself, and then most people have Brady 1, Montana 2, and then an argument on the funnel on the way down. Brees will at least be able to make a credible case. He could be 3. I think he'd probably more like 5 or 6, but that is what it would mean for him. It would be uncharted waters as far as statistical dominance.
It's a tricky discussion because you have all the accolades and you have all the numbers and the statistics, but maybe not the ring. It's a team sport. You're not doing it by yourself. It's hard to put the same amount of weight on the rings as it is on your individual accomplishments. Where does it stand with you?
From a quarterback standpoint, you always have to put more weight on the rings because they have more control. When you try to put the ring distinction on the other players, it doesn't fit because the other players, they don't have control like the quarterback has control of the game. Yes, it is the ultimate team sport, but the difference in the quarterbacks, it's not only the numbers, it's about their leadership, but also did that leadership lead their team to winning? And the most important games are in the playoffs, and that would happen to lead you to the Super Bowl. The reason why Nick didn't mention one of the greatest throwers ever, Dan Marino.
Yep.
And the reason why is because he didn't win any Super Bowls. But you can't have a conversation about the greatest quarterbacks ever without talking about Dan Marino. So I think it's important in the era that you played, and that being right now when Manning, Brady are playing, Eli's playing, Big Ben's playing, Drew Brees is playing, he needs to be able to do something else to be able to set himself apart.
If they win the Super Bowl this year, depending on when he comes back, he could finish this season number one in NFL history in yards, touchdowns, completions, and attempts. And with a second Super Bowl, that would, despite never winning an MVP, and he's obviously not going to win it this year because of the injury, that would change the conversation surrounding him from a first ballot Hall of Famer to, is he a Mount Rushmore type of quarterback?
And I think the franchise, what the Saints have gone through with the bags over their head, then they had the hurricane. To say that he led that city, that team to two championships, that has to be a part of the resume.
Okay, quick math. the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
ESPN polled 25 NFL executives.
Put yourself, Bill.
Asking which quarterback they'd want to win one game. Tom Brady came out on top with 14 of the 25 votes. So, CC, the quarterback you'd pick if you had to win one game.
I'm going with Patty Mahomes. But, man, this dude keeps yelling in my ear. Dang on, keep going quick. Man, stop yelling at me, go quick. Man, I know how long the show's on. I know how long the segments is on.
So yeah. Much for
man,
that.
I got somebody texting me, too. My wife said you're yelling a little bit too much.
Yelling
today.
A little too much. Patty but Mahomes. You got to say Patrick Mahomes' Patty name Mahomes. With some enthusiasm.
Stop.
Contrary to other stop. Reports, this is not a question. As great as Tom Brady has been, as great as Aaron Rodgers has been, the quarterback every GM in the league right now wishes they had is the one Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs have. Patrick Mahomes, one game, one yep. season, one decade.
Let's just say one throw, not one decade now.
Yeah, from right now moving forward, the next decade.
Let's one throw Patty Mahomes, one game is Patty Mahomes.
You can't go that fast if it's a whole decade.
I can do it.
The NFL trade deadline, 3 weeks away, and there are quite a few players who could be on the move this season, including Jalen Ramsey, who was spotted hanging out with Deshaun Watson in Houston on Sunday. Nick, the player you want to see traded the most is blank.
Man, A.J. Green, for his sake, I'd like to see.
Why do you keep speaking up for a wide receiver who don't have no, he's a no-maintenance, non-diva receiver.
Now,
now you're campaigning. Typically, a guy's got to be a criminal, either a black quarterback or something, for you to represent him.
No, that's not true. We have a very diverse clientele at my law firm. And A.J. Green, we're trying to recruit in. Listen, A.J., life is better outside of Cincinnati. No Andy Dalton.
Ownership. Won't you be like Colin? Trade OBJ.
Well, that one now, Colin. Hey, Colin, we're going to talk later today, Colin, about that craziness you presented yesterday, 12:30 Eastern, by the way. But A.J. Green, get him on a team with a real quarterback contender. I know he's hurt right now. You can probably get him cheap because his contract's expiring. A.J. Green's
Jenna, I'm only going with the players that you can plug and play right now. Yep. So it'd either be Jalen Ramsey, who you can go out and guard somebody this weekend, or Trent Williams, the left tackle. Did you see Laremy Tunsil playing for the Houston Texans last week? How many sacks did the Texans give up?
Zero.
Oh, zero. And he's supposed to be a middle-of-the-pack left tackle. Well, let's get another middle-of-the-pack left tackle and Trent Williams, let him dominate somebody. Washington, let him go, man.
Bick
trade him.
Love to get Trent. All right, moving on. Kyler Murray was the number one overall draft pick back in April. However, there have been plenty of great rookies this season, including Josh Jacobs, Danny Dimes, Nick Bosa. See, the best rookie so far has been blank.
I'm going with Josh Jacobs out of Alabama. Now, he's one of the fresher running backs we ever got in the NFL. In college, man, he was number three at best at Alabama. Sometimes he was fifth team, sometimes fourth team, sometimes just doing scout team duty. So he's a fresh running back. Great pick by Mike Mayock to bring some physicality behind that ginormous offensive line they have.
You mentioned the lack of tread on the tires reminds you of Terrell Davis, who came in and just blew the league
up. Yeah, he was a backup at the University of Georgia.
Josh Jacobs was my preseason rookie of the year pick. I think he's a great pick right now, but I'm going to go with Jenna's guy, Gardner Minshew. Not a ton of talent on that offense.
Okay.
Has kept them afloat. They could have won this past week. They could have won the game they lost in the two-point conversion. They've been in every game he's been the quarterback for since he's replaced Nick Foles. Nick Foles might get Nick Foles in this situation if Minshew keeps this up. So I'm going to go right now with Gardner Minshew.
Solid choice. Solid.
Thanks, Jenna.
The NFC West is arguably the toughest division in the league right now. And this week, we get to see Jared Goff and the Rams face off against the undefeated 49ers. So you see the best team in the the NFC West right now is blank.
Oh, for, Pep, stop. Now Pep telling me to slow down. I got time. First he telling me to speed up. Uh-huh. Now he telling me to slow down everything. The NFC West, come on, let's go with the 49ers. What we saw on Monday night is real. You guys know, since we've been doing this show, first year, I was in love with the big people of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they was moving people against their will. Mm-hmm. San Francisco in this style with Kyle Shanahan, I love it. I am concerned, do they have enough offensive firepower? They could use another wide receiver, but the best team right now, the 49ers and the Boza kid from the Ohio State.
So you're saying the 49ers could use a guy like A.J. Green. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. They were my preseason pick to win this division. Folks laughed at me. That I still think pick. They're the best team in this division.
Well, I mean, you make a lot of picks we laugh at.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I've laughed at the Buffalo pick. How's that looking? Seahawks, still the best
Buffalo's
team in the division.
Oh, Buffalo's in great shape.
They are. 4-1. They got the second best
record
in the
AFC. Oh, yeah, it's just exciting. Josh Allen's coming back.
Okay, no. Listen, Josh Allen was, I knew he was the quarterback.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.